Brother Willie and Sister Nita back with us. We appreciate each one that's here.
Appreciate prayer this morning.
I'd like to share a little thought on my heart. My wife recently handed me a cup. And she said it's bitter. And it was. It was bitter. It's supposed to be good for you. It's supposed to help you. But anyway, I've been pondering that a little bit. I'd like to talk to that just a little bit this morning. You know, life is bittersweet. It definitely has its sweet moments, its sweet times. We cherish those. And if it's probably up to us, that's probably all we would have. There's a lot of things in life that are sweet, that we enjoy, that God's blessed us with. And I believe the sweet far outweighs the bitter. But there is a cup that we have to drink too. The Lord doesn't always save us from that cup. I think we're all going to have to drink of a bitter cup sometime in life. But you know, the Lord will help us with that too. I believe the Lord will help us through that. I think about Jesus. You know, he talked about this cup that he had. It was a bitter cup of death that he was going to drink. It wasn't pleasant. Wasn't fun. Wasn't exciting. Something that he was going to really enjoy in the flesh. But he said, I must drink this cup. He prayed in the garden that the cup would pass. And I think it's fine for us to pray that way too. Lord, if it be possible that this cup pass. But let's not be discouraged when the Lord allows us to drink that cup. I think of some of the bitter things that we drink. Sometimes it's our own failures in life. Lessons that we may have learned the hard way. That has a bitter taste to it. Sometimes it's a sin of other people that has affected our life in ways beyond what we really sometimes even can comprehend or know. And then sometimes it's just life. Sometimes life has bitter cups. And I believe Ecclesiastes brings that in one place. He talked about the days of darkness being many. And just because we're children of God doesn't mean that we're always going to be saved. I'm sure the Lord will spare us some bitter cups. But I know for sure He's going to allow us to drink some too. But I want to encourage us this morning that when we do drink those bitter cups, that God will be there. A bitter cup is not sweet. It's not pleasant. But it's something that He'll help us through, I believe. If we'll lean upon Him and look to Him, I believe He'll help us to drink our cup, our bitter cup, when it comes our way. And I don't believe the Lord intentionally tries to harm us. I think we can take those difficult things, those bitter things that come our way, and I believe God, with the right a heart and an attitude towards God and a right relationship with Him, those things can work for our good in the long run. Though sometimes, you know, when you're drinking the bitter cup, we don't sometimes see past it. It's just right there, and we just kind of to go through it. But I thank God today that He is able to help us. I thought about Mary. You remember, I think probably all women would have probably have loved to have been the mother of the Messiah, the Christ. That would be quite a honor to be chosen to be the mother of Jesus. But I don't think it was an easy job. You remember when she was in the temple and the prophecy came, said, "Behold, the sword shall pierce your own soul." Well, that happened. As she saw her son, hanging on the cross, you know, a mother's heart is to do everything she can to ease pain and to comfort and to help. But she couldn't do anything. She was powerless. And she had a cup to drink. So we're going to have our cups. Lord, help us to endure those cups, not get offended or hurt at God when those cups come our way, because they're very real, and just because we're a child of God, He's not going to spare us every time. He's going to allow us to drink those bitter cups at times. But I want to look at John, the third chapter. In the 16th verse, he said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I'm thankful today for the hope that the Lord has given us I believe it's a hope for tomorrow, but I don't want to limit it to that. Sometimes our tomorrow is going to look pretty dismal. I believe it's a hope for tomorrow. I believe it's a hope for a future life. And I thank God today that He has provided a way for us to be saved, to live with Him in eternity. This verse here, he said, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son."
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
The scripture in Revelations mentions, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door," he said, "I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me." I'm thankful that I got that invitation. I'm thankful that it wasn't just one knock. The Lord had to knock on my door a number of times. I wasn't willing at first. I had plans. I had my own thoughts, my own ideas. But this word believe is more than a head knowledge. It involves the heart. It involves our affections, our love. And when we open that door, that's what we're saying. We're saying, "I give you my all. I give you my life. I give you my future, my dreams. All that I am, I open it up to you." When we do that, when we open our heart, and I don't, you know, I know there's an initial experience of salvation. I realize, I believe that. But I also realize, too, that through the years, the heart of man can become calloused. We can kind of get set in our ways and our own. And I believe it's important to continue to bring our heart before God. Say, "Lord, I give you my heart, my affections, my life. I want your will to be done more than my desires." And that gives us hope this morning. He said, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him." And as you all know, I've been studying the Gospel of John, and there's so much about the Lord giving life, Him giving hope. And I think about chapter 2 about the adulterous woman. I'm not seeing it. I thought it was in chapter 5. But I don't see it. Let's see here. That's chapter 8, I'm sorry. In verse 3 it says, "And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her."
And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. You know, I don't really know what all ran through this woman's mind. I can imagine the sentence of death laying on top of her. You know, here they're talking about stoning her. The guilt, the shame, the public condemnation that she must have felt. She knew she was caught. She knew she had done wrong. She knew she was guilty. You know, we've all been there. We've all been, not exactly maybe the same circumstances, but we've all had the sentence of death. We were all guilty. And the Lord, it said, when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, the gospel is a gospel of love. Is a gospel of hope. Is a gospel of mercy. Reaching out. The ones that brought her there apparently didn't have too much mercy. But Jesus had mercy upon the woman. She was probably trembly. She was probably shook up. And to be able to hear those words, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Words of life. Words of hope. Words of comfort. Words of strength. Words of a new beginning. Aren't you glad Jesus is Jesus? I'm so glad that Jesus is Jesus, who He is. This is who we serve. I think about the man that was dying on the cross. The shame, the guilt that he felt. Perhaps he looked back in time and saw his mom and dad as a child. Perhaps he had those memories of his, where he first started going wrong in his life. I think in that kind of situation, you'd probably think pretty hard. He had no excuse. He had nothing to offer the Lord. But I believe the Lord saw his heart when he cried out and said, Remember me, Lord.
You know, Jesus always he seemed like his heart was moved for the struggling, the underprivileged, those that had been beaten up by sin and shame. And Jesus said to him, "This day you know, this scripture has given a hope to a lot of people. This incident, I'm so glad it was recorded. It's given hope to a lot of people in their last hours that knew they messed up, that knew they failed the grace of God. He said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." You know, the Lord has given us I enjoy life. I like life. I'm sure we all do. But I'm thankful that there's something more that the Lord has provided. When you study the first parts of John, I don't know how many, I haven't counted them, but eternal life is mentioned over and over and over. We have hope now. We have hope, you know, of a better tomorrow, of when we have difficult things happen in life, we can have. But the ultimate hope of being forgiven and being able to meet the Lord in peace in heaven, I don't know how to say that, but it overshadows everything else. It's great. The hope that we have. That God has given us. When we open our hearts to Him. I want to encourage us to keep our hearts open. Our heart, not just our head knowledge, but to keep our heart open towards the Lord and the things of God. We don't want anything here to hinder that hope. We don't want to make provision for the flesh that would hinder the hope that God has set before us. And I believe today the Lord is... there's a scripture in Corinthians that talks about being saved by fire. I believe that God is working with us all the way to the end of life. He's doing what He can to draw our hearts and minds close to Him. I don't know what heaven's going to be like altogether, but I know it's going to be better in here. There's a promise of being able to see the Lord face to face. Our scripture says, we that have this hope pure, every man that has this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Lord, help us to keep our focus on the end goal, is to make heaven our home. That's what it's all about. And to take as many as we can with us. Jesus also mentioned, I was challenged by these words in John, the 8th chapter, in the 23rd verse. I'll read 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You know, Jesus, he said, I'm not of this world. And he was telling the Pharisees there, he said, you're of this world. Lord, help us not to be too entrenched with our affections in the affairs of this life. Help us not to be too consumed by the cares of this life, the responsibilities of life, that we don't keep God first in our hearts and our lives. We don't want to be of the world either. We don't want to be gravitated towards the things of this life, that we can't be what God is calling us to be. And I feel like it's kind of a natural tendency to gravitate towards things that we see and things that we can feel and things that we can touch. But Lord, help us not to be of this world. I remember Brother Chuck preaching a message years ago. He talked about a man that, I don't know who it was, but this man had a nice boat. And he polished his boat. He used his boat. He loved his boat. It meant a lot to him. But when it came down that he was afflicted, and he was facing eternity, his perspective changed totally. The boat that was so important, so much a part of his life, took so much of his time, suddenly didn't mean anything anymore. His perspective changed. Lord, help us to live with an eternal perspective, that our hearts can truly sense and discern what's really important for us, what the Lord wants us to do in our lives. I pray for us all. Hope this hadn't been too much of a discouraging message. But I want us to know that when the bitter cup comes, that the Lord will see us through. He'll be there to help us. Sometimes it's a day-by-day basis, an hour-by-hour. But the Lord will help us through. Jesus wasn't afraid to drink his cup. He took it. And he drank it. Isn't that what we do in the ordinance service? We take the cup. And we're saying, Jesus told them, drink ye all of it. We're saying, Lord, whatever it is, whatever's in my path, whatever's in my whatever you have for me, I'm willing to drink that cup. I recently read a testimony of D.S. Warner that he was drawing close to God. He wanted to be more like God. He wanted to live in the Lord's presence more. He wanted greater grace. But he later said, he said, I had no idea what all that would entail. Those are my words. I can't quote him exactly, but that was the thought. He said, I had no idea the cup that I would have to drink. So let's be encouraged this morning to put our hand in the Lord's hand and keep our eyes with an eternal perspective heavenward. Pray for me.